Thank you for this day. Thank you for answering prayer in the basketball ministry, and help us as we try to follow up with these guys and help them to grow spiritually and to get in church. And Lord, do pray for these other requests. We thank you for answering Diana's prayer request, and thank you that her granddaughter's doing well. And Lord, want to remember Daniel Button with cancer. Lord, Megan's nephew, we prayed work in his life. For Sarah there at the hospital. And Lord, we have several people that have great physical needs, Faith Ball and Sarah Briggs, that they just don't know what's wrong. And I pray that you would reveal this to the doctors. They might be able to help to them. Think of this man, Sam, who's lost, who just found out he has lung cancer. Lord, I pray that he would come to Christ before it's too late. And I pray you'd help someone to be able to be a witness to that man and to see him saved. For Martha Whaley there in the hospital, we pray that you touch her. Don't know what her physical needs are today. Ask you, Lord, to minister in her life. And then, Lord, as we look at your word today, I pray you'd speak to us. Help us, I pray. God, challenge us from your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Probably all of us at some time in our life have had somebody say to us, you know, you did okay, but you could have done better. You could have done better. Probably all of us have heard that. And as we start 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is exactly what Paul is saying. He's saying, you know, you believers have done pretty well, but you can do better. Now, so far in the book, Paul has defended his discipleship. He has tried to encourage those folks in Thessalonica, tried to minister to them, tried to build them up in the faith. But mainly, he's talked a lot about himself and his ministry, why he did what he did, how he did what he did. And now he's going to really make a great change here. In the last two chapters, there are great practical illustrations and practical teaching. In fact, as he gets going, if you don't need to look at there, but in chapter 5, he's just going to kind of give us some machine gun things. Do this, do this, do this, do this. And he's going from defense of himself and encouragement of the believers to, okay, here's what you need to do to move on in your Christian life and to be better. Now, before he does that, in verses 1 and 2, he's going to tell us, try to motivate us to be better. And now, this is really important, because if you don't have proper motivation, you're not going to change, are you? I've often given you the illustration of me losing weight. By the way, I'm excited. I actually exercised 3 times this week. 3 times. That's pretty impressive for me. Usually what I do is I don't exercise at all, and I go out Monday night and I run with these guys that are 20 years old. And that's not the smartest thing to do. But you'd be glad to know Wednesday I actually exercised, and Friday and Saturday night, last night I exercised, just so I'd be ready for Sunday school this morning. So pretty exciting stuff. But you know what? I will never lose weight, and you will never lose weight until you're motivated to do it. Because it takes discipline, doesn't it? My wife and I were out visiting yesterday, and we stopped by the Mini Dome where they were having the home show. And there was a guy there who was trying to sell some kind of weight loss product, and I overheard him say, yeah, and this guy was on Crestor, and now he's off Crestor, and I kind of, oh, that's interesting, and that's about as motivated as I was. We walked on and looked at other things, and that's my problem. See, I don't have motivation to do it, and so I don't, not much. Look, as a believer, you will never change until you are motivated to change. If you're sitting here this morning, and you say, you know what, Gary, I am satisfied with my Christian walk, then you're never going to be walking closer to the Lord. It's not going to happen. And so Paul's going to take some time here. He's going to say, look, folks, here's why you need to obey the instruction you're going to get. Now, in the next several months, we'll be covering chapter 4 and chapter 5. Very specific instructions. The next passage we're going to look at next week talks about sexual purity. And you will never be motivated to be sexually pure unless you understand verses 1 and 2. When he goes on and he says, pray without ceasing and rejoice evermore and everything give thanks and quench not the spirit and abstain from all appearance of evil in chapter 5. If you don't understand verses 1 and 2, we're going to cover today, you're not going to change. You're not going to change. So let's spend a little bit of time this morning looking at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4. And I want to give you five things. Our title this morning would be, You Can Do Better. Okay? Or You Can Be Better. One of the two, whichever you like. If you don't like either of them, don't write anything down. But there you go. You can be better. All right, here we go. Number one, the priority of excelling. Let's read these two verses. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye should abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Now, the priority of excelling. If you're taking notes, there's five P's this morning. That ought to help you. The priority of excelling. And he's going to give us a statement here, and we're going to explain that to you. He said, look, brethren, you have received how you ought to walk and please God, and you should abound more and more. He said, look, you have received some things from God. Now, again, if you're new with us, you're visiting today, remember that Paul ministered to Thessalonica maybe just three Sabbath days. That's all we have record of. He gave them the gospel. He taught some things, and it took. By the way, aren't you excited when it takes with new believers? I mean, they trust Christ, and they go on for the Lord, and they just grow in the Lord. Well, that's what happened with there. And he said, look, in verse 3 of chapter 1, you don't need to look there. He said, your faith worked, your love labored, you have a hope that endured. He said, now I want you to grow. Now look at the very first word of chapter 4. And it is, I know you're really cold, and I'm just trying to help get your brain in gear. Furthermore, so what's the point? That's good. Yeah, go further, okay? He said, look, I've given you this information. Now, I'm going to go on. And he's going to go on. He's going to go further. And we need to go further. I talked to several people this week who said, you know, I just really want to grow in the Lord. And I thought, now that is music to a teacher's ear, isn't it? Somebody who says, man, I just, you know, one man said, you know, I just really want to know the Lord better. And he said, I'm reading my Bible every day. Now, that's encouraging. Another couple, my wife and I visited, and they said, you know, we just really want to grow and know more about the Lord. Well, that's exciting stuff. I hope that's what you're saying in your life. Boy, I just want to grow. I want to go on in my Christian life. Now look what he says. He says, furthermore, then we beseech you. That's an interesting word. It means to request, to kindly or graciously request. He's not berating them, but he's saying, boy, my heart for you is that you grow. By the way, does this sound familiar? This is probably the third lesson on growing in the Christian life, maybe the fourth. And there are times when you're teaching through a book and you say, but we just taught that. Well, now Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write this, folks. And he ended chapter 3. Of course, what do you need to remember about the Word of God? When it was written originally, did Paul sit down and say, now let me write chapter 4? No, there were no divisions, okay? There were no chapters and no verses. That's just put in so it helps us to find a passage. So his thought is just continuing with chapter 3. In chapter 3, he said, I want you to increase. I want you to grow. We get to chapter 4, first two verses. I want you to abound. I want you to grow. And he says, I'm going to exhort you. You know that word. That's that word parakaleo. That word come along beside and to help. And he said, I want to come along beside you and help you and minister to you. And look at the verse, what he says here at the end of the verse. So you would abound more and more. That word abound means to overflow, to exist in a full quantity. Now, when somebody serves me ice cream, now, Johnny, you're like me. This one scoop stuff, that's for sissies, isn't it? I want my ice cream to abound, you know. Now, I have learned a secret. I like my bowl to be full. Now, the secret to that is get a smaller bowl. Fill it up, and you'll think, hey, this is exciting, but you're not eating near as much, okay? So there's one of my dietary secrets there for you. If you look at me, you're going to see that I've been on a diet for a long time. He says, I want it to overflow. Don't you want that? When I buy, on Wednesdays, sometimes I go to the VA and they sell popcorn on Wednesdays. It's like a buck a bag, you know, and it's helping the veterans, you know? That's why I do it. Now, when they put that popcorn in the bag, I don't like it, them to put it down in there and then roll it up three or four times. I like it. There are some guys, they'll put it in, and then they'll put some more, and then they'll take their scoop and they pack it down, and then they put some more in, and when you grab it and you're walking out the door, there's pieces of popcorn falling on the floor. Now, the janitor probably didn't appreciate that, but that's the kind of bag of popcorn I want, isn't it? It's overflowing. It's overflowing. Now, Paul says that's the kind of Christian life he wants them to have. Now, he uses the same word in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to read you the verse. See if you can pick out the word, okay? In the original, it's the same word. It's translated differently in our Bible. Here it is. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Now, for my introduction, you ought to know what the word was. It's a translated, David has it, better. Better. He's saying, look, I'm going to come alongside you. I want you to have an excel in your Christian life. Now, this idea is found all throughout Scripture. Let me give you a couple of the verses. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, we've already read. In fact, you can see it in your Bible. Just look up a couple of verses. And the Lord make you to do what? Increase and abound in love one toward another. Increase and abound. Colossians 1:10 says that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, listen, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Is your knowledge of God increasing? Or are you just content with what you know? 2 Peter 1:5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. He said, don't be content. You need to add to it. You need to excel in the Christian life. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you excel at? Let's not be so personal. What do people excel at today? This is where I was going to throw shopping in, but I'm not going to now because the note that was on there. Sports. There's all the ladies. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Some people excel at sport. I found out something yesterday. Some people excel at model trains. While we were over at ETSU, we ran into Kevin Haynes, and he said, oh, you ought to go over here. They've got a model train museum. And they do. It's amazing. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of HO stuff, and if you're into model trains, you need to go over there some Saturday between 10 and 3, I think it was. And this guy decided to take us on a tour. And folks, they're doing the Tweetsie Railroad. Now, they've already got this huge layout, but they're doing the Tweetsie Railroad, and they make everything. The trees, the houses. This one guy was making houses to scale. And he had all these, doing all these calculations, okay, and his house was this big, okay, so it ought to be this big, and the bridges have to be exactly to scale, and they make it's incredible. Some people excel in making model trains. Now, to be honest with you, that doesn't excite me a whole lot. What are some people, what are the things people excel at? Come on, help me out here. Music. Crafts. What else? Academics. No one in here, but no. There's a lot of things people excel at. Several weeks ago, or I guess last Friday, we were playing a new game, a board game. I was going to say card game, but that'd be wicked, wouldn't it? A board game. Here the game was played. You have a person who is the judge, and the judge gets a card with five or six questions on it, and he can ask those questions. And everybody writes down an answer, puts them in the middle, and then the judge, without people knowing, picks the one he likes best. And then their job is to figure out which one the judge picked. You got it? Okay. My card, one of the questions was, what will I best be remembered for? I did not use that question. To be honest with you, now think about it. I don't know that I wanted to know. My family was there. What will I best be remembered for? Now stop and think about that. unless the Lord returns, there's going to come a day when you will die. And people are going to stand around your casket. They're going to come to your viewing. And what are they going to say? Besides that you look good. Never quite figured that one out. Best she's ever looked in her whole life, you know. Kind of odd, the things they say at funerals. But the thing is, people are going to remember you for something. They really are. I have been to some funerals where people said, well, you know, they made a profession as a child, but I just don't really know. Isn't that a sad? Isn't that a sad way to go? Well, they said they were Christian, but there was no fruit. What a terrible way to spend your life and to die. Now I just want you to, I'm not going to make you answer this out loud, okay? So think about your life. If someone were examining your life and said, boy, he was a great, or she was a wonderful, what would they say? It's kind of sobering, isn't it? Wouldn't you like them to be able to say, she was a wonderful Christian? I've been to funerals like that too. In fact, just recently, I can't remember who it was, but it was, may have been Tom's dad, I can't remember. But, what's that? And Donna's mom, too, yeah, they're sitting right by each other. Both of them I went to, and people were saying, boy, she was a wonderful Christian. She loved, and he was a wonderful. Isn't that what you want? That people will look at your life and they will say, you know, they were an abundant Christian. I mean, boy, their relationship to the Lord was real. They loved the Lord. Well, I hope they got in. Now, when are you going to determine what they say at your funeral? Right now. Right now. I don't know about you, but that really convicted me when I thought about that. Well, you know, he loved to play basketball. Well, I do love to play basketball. But I hope that's not the primary thing in my life. And those days, by the way, are going to come to an end real soon, the way things are going. Well, you know, he really took care of his cars. Well, that's a good thing. You should take care of what you own. But hallelujah, is that the most important thing? He was a hard worker. Well, that's good. You ought to be a hard worker as a believer. But folks, wouldn't you like them to say, boy, that person lived for the Lord. They love the Lord. They serve the Lord. Pastor is preaching this series on imitating God. Wouldn't you love for someone to say, you know what? That person was like Christ. They were joking around this morning about the bookstore. By the way, the bookstore is open today. I've already made 2 sales. We're booking. Well, sorry. Someone came by and said, did you make those? I said, yeah, I did. And she said, oh, you're just like Jesus, the carpenter. And I thought, I sure would like to be. Sure would like to be. So he starts out and he said, look, folks, this is a priority that you abound. Now look, and I'm taking a lot of time in this. We're still in the first point, by the way. But if you don't get this, then the battle's lost, okay? My goal at this point is for you to be saying, you know what? I need to work on this. There are things that I need to change in my life. Okay. If you're not saying that, then the rest of this is going to help you. Okay. So he says, number one, the priority of excelling. Number two, the power for excelling. How do you change? How do you change? How do you do it? Look, it says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus. There's the answer. Now, again, we saw this back in chapter 3 and verse 12. Look back at that verse again. And notice the first four words or five words. What are they? And the Lord make you... He did not say, boy, you better really get up and be strong and change yourself. He said, no, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love. There's the answer. There's the answer. If you want to become more like Christ, folks, it has to be the work of the Lord. It's funny, when I was in high school, we had a youth choir, and this was kind of my dad's big thing, and we would practice year-round, and then we'd go on a tour. We went to California, or we went to Washington, Oregon, and someplace in Idaho, or one year we went to Colorado and New Mexico. Boy, that was a mistake. You have to drive 500 miles between every church, you know. And we had to give testimonies, and we'd memorize it. We'd write a testimony and memorize it. Almost everybody liked Philippians 4:13. Of course, we're scared to death. You know, you're in this church, you don't know anybody. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. But that's a great truth, folks. You'll never be better if you try to do it on your own. You must be spirit-filled, controlled by the Word of God. Now, look, the Lord has the power to make you a better believer. A better believer. And I would just encourage you to think about this power for excelling. Folks, if you want to be an excellent Christian, you need to go to the Lord and tell Him, Lord, what? Here's an area I need to change. Help me to change in this area. Lord, my Bible reading is real spotty. Man, I read the Bible once last week. Lord, help me to be a believer that has the discipline to read the Bible every day. Lord, my prayer life, oh, goodness gracious, I just haven't been praying. Lord, help me to be disciplined to pray. Lord, my church attendance is not very good. Help me to be faithful. Whatever it is the Lord is talking about, whether it's witnessing or purity or whatever, go to the Lord. He's the one that can help you. And ask the Lord to give you the power to have the ability to excel in your Christian life and to grow. I moved through that. Third thing, real quickly here. The principles for excelling. Now, notice what Paul says. He says that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God. All right, he said, I've already taught you how to please the Lord, to know what to do. Help me here. What are some basic things that we must do as believers if we're going to grow? I've already mentioned some of them, but you help me here. Read the Bible. Yeah, there's number one. What else? Pray. There's number two. What's that? Witness. Go to church. What else? Get involved in ministry. What else? Those are all positives. How about something negative? Yeah, abstain from sin, pure life. Those are all basic things you've got to do to grow, aren't they? And he said, you've already learned some of those things. He said, I've already given those to you. But he said, I'm going to give you something else here. Look at verse 1. And he says that as ye have received us, how ye ought to walk and notice and to... please God. Boy, here is a great principle, folks, to apply to your Christian life. Every time you have a decision to make, what should you say? Well, what would Pastor Jody say? Right? What would my husband say? Now, what if every time you had a decision to make spiritually about your Bible reading or your prayer or your witnessing or sin or whatever, you said, will this please Christ? Will this please Christ? Well, I may go over and do this thing. Wait a minute. Does this please Christ? Well, I'm going to say something. I'm going to put something on Facebook. Will this please Christ? I know I dwell a lot on Facebook. I don't quite understand all of it. But I've never understood why believers put some of the things they put on Facebook. I mean, don't you realize people are going to see them? I mean, this is like public, you know? If you're sinning, at least hide it. Hallelujah. You know, don't tell everybody about it. I never quite understood that. But at any rate, the Word of God in Galatians 1:10 says, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now let me ask you a question. When you came out of the womb, who did you want to please? Your parents? No. Lily is almost 3 now. Twos have been exciting. No one had to teach Lily to say, I want to do it now, or I'm going to scream and yell and do all kinds of crazy things. No one had to teach her that. She knew it, though. And no one had to teach you to make decisions to please yourself. You were born that way. And it's going to take a work of God to change you and to change me so that we're seeking to please God and not ourselves. Now look, if you're going to excel in the Christian life, you're going to have to come to a point where you say, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to think it, I'm not going to say it, I'm not going to whatever, put it on Facebook, if it doesn't please God. If it doesn't please God. Now think. Think how your life would change if every decision you made went through that questioning. Does it please God? Does this please God? Does this please God? Paul said, look, folks, I want you to excel in the Christian life. And the question you've got to say is, does it please Christ? Does it please God? Fourthly, notice the progress of your excelling. And there's a key word that talks about progress in verse 1. What is it? Abound, but there's another one. Walk. Walk is progress, isn't it? I think some Christians are on a treadmill. A lot of activity, but they're not going anywhere. You know? A lot of activity. They're spending a lot of energy, but their Christian life is doing nothing. Nothing wrong with treadmills if you like those. Help yourself. Unless we're talking about your spiritual life. He said you need to walk. You need to make progress in your daily life. And folks, if you're saying in every question, saying, hey, does this please Christ? And you will respond to that properly. You can grow in your Christian life. We just need to keep going, folks. Let me give you real quickly 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 15. Let me read these to you real fast here. And it says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Paul says to Timothy, hey, don't neglect the gift. Go on, buddy. Go on. Make progress. Keep going. You say, wow, but I failed. What do you do? Well, you get up and you keep going. In Proverbs 24:16, he says, for a just man falleth, how many times? 7 times, and riseth up, and he just keeps getting up, and he keeps going on with the Lord. Finally, let me give you very quickly the pressure for excelling. You've got the priority, the power, the principles, the progress, and finally the pressure for excelling. Why should we do it? Notice here in verse 2, for we know what commands we gave you by the Lord Jesus. The word commands is a military directive. It's a military term. It is an order from an officer. And he said, look, as you see all these orders that we're going to give you in chapter 4 and verse in chapter 5, they are coming not from me, not from Paul. They're coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that makes them pretty important. As we come next week where he says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That's not Paul. Paul didn't make that up. That's God's will. That's God's will. When we read passages about be comforted, some of you have gone through deaths recently. We'll get to verse 14 through 18 in chapter 4, wonderful passage on the rapture. And that is a revelation of God to be comforted in these times because of the great truths. When we get to chapter 5 and he says, hey, quit sleeping, wake up and work and do something for God, that's coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have verses about rejoicing and praying and giving thanks and not quenching the spirit and abstaining from all appearance of evil, that's coming from God. I think some people in the church think pastor stays up all night thinking about things. And maybe, and pastor, Jody's not quite as much as Preacher Lashley was, but I think some of you thought Preacher Lashley stayed up all night. Now, what can we do? What can we say to make the people miserable? Okay, you can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do this. These are from God. These are not from Paul. And as we come to these commands, folks, we need to realize the source. The source. And if it was just for me, you can throw it off anytime you want to. But if it comes from God, that's a whole new ball game. And we're going to be looking at some truths, folks. And you're going to have a decision to make, and I'm going to have a decision to make. As we find a verse that says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. When we come to those verses, you're going to have to say, okay, am I going to please God or am I going to please self? As we talk about sexual purity next week, which is going to go right along with pastor's sermons today and next Sunday, we're going to have a decision to make. Am I going to please self or am I going to please God? As we look at the rapture and the comfort of that, am I going to please myself or am I going to do what God says? I'm going to please God. And all these things. Now, look, this week, today, right now, you're making decisions. Some of you are saying, what an idiot. What is he thinking? I hope you're not saying that. If you are, don't tell me, okay? You're making decisions about things in your life right now. And you will, all this week, all today, tomorrow. Now, are you going to abound in the Christian life? Or as they say, you're going to get in by the skin of your teeth. Is that how it goes? Doesn't sound quite right. Are you going to be an abundant Christian? Or are you going to be a member at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Just kind of, here I am, folks. Now, it's your decision. It's my decision. When you die, are people going to say, well, I hope they got in? Or are they going to say, boy, they live for the Lord. They love the Lord. They had an abundant Christian life. Which is it? We all have a choice to make. Will you be better? Or will you just do okay? I want to be better. My wife wants me better. We need to be better, folks. Let's be super abundant Christians. We all have things to work on. We all do. We all have areas that we could be better in our Christian life. And my prayer is that we all would say, you know what? I got some work to do. And with the Lord's help, I'm going to be better. I'm going to be better. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for the practical truth. As we continue our study now in chapter 4, chapter 5, help us, Lord, to indeed be better and to take these things as from heaven and to change the way we ought to change. And the Lord, God, help us, I pray, today throughout the week to make decisions based on what pleases you and not what pleases us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, folks.